Welcome back to the program. Always great to have so many of your calls and your texts coming through. We'll head back to your calls and texts shortly. But on a Friday, Campbell Brown, Hawthorn Premiership star, AFL Nation and SEN track commentator, joins us thanks to Tyre Power. Save on Kumo. Store-wide super sale is now on. Brownie, every week we get you on. There's always a little bit of chatter about Buddy Franklin, your old teammate. And guess what? He's in the news again. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. It was a bit of a bombshell, wasn't it, when the news came out about Brisbane leading the charge for Buddy? And I'm a bit surprised by it, to be honest.
So, have you done any digging since the surprising announcement with this story?
I've tried to. I'm not getting any further than probably anyone else here. But, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. They've got their Ford stocks pretty well. Danaher and Hipwood up there. Obviously, McStay looks like he's McLeaving. But I'm not sure that Buddy to Brisbane really fits where they are right now.
No, I'm with you on that. The strange part is, if he is moving to Queensland or the Gold Coast, then maybe the Gold Coast would be an option. But maybe that's not what the Gold Coast is about right now, paying $600, $650 for a one-year on-field, one-year big marketing, put him on a poster kind of figure. It's not like Buddy's going to do all your interviews either. He's for the billboards and for the backsides on seats game day, but that's where it extends to.
Yeah, well, they've got Marby Achol. It's kicked 43 goals this year and been outstanding. Levi Casbolt certainly played his role, and at some stage next year they'll be getting King back as well. So yeah, they're probably not in the market for a 35-year-old key forward. And it's really interesting. I mean, reports today saying he's already told the Sydney Swans that he's leaving. I'd still hold on to a little bit of hope if I was a Sydney supporter that they can come to some sort of terms.
So is there a chance that he's just told the Sydney Swans that he's leaving on that money that he's been offered and leaving as in, well, I might just call it quits and not play at all? Is there a chance that that could be the I'm leaving based on the offer you've given me and I might not play?
I'd be surprised if he didn't play somewhere. I think Buddy's pretty keen to play on. And I think if it's not at Sydney, you know, it'll certainly be somewhere else. But, it's a funny one because I think I said to you 3 or 4 weeks ago when this first came out, I think, you know, $500,000 for a one-year deal for a 35-year-old that's still playing good footy. But he's had his money. He got the big, you know, $1 million contract a year for the last decade. It's someone else's turn to get paid at the Sydney Swans, and they would be aware of that. So, for the sake of, you know, a couple of hundred grand, to leave a footy club that you've made home for the last 9-10 years is a really interesting phase.
It sounds like you think he owes them a year on lesser money.
Well, I think so. I mean, it's not like $500,000 is being disrespectful. It's pretty good price for, you know, for someone to be paid to play the game they love at their age. And Sydney Swans, are right there. They're not far away from, you know, getting themselves back in the mix to play off in grand finals. And this young group's so exciting. Buddy's helped build that. Why would you want to leave now?
And would it be too much of a sort of a middle finger move to go to the Giants?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it certainly would be. I mean, that's the club we originally thought he was going to when he first moved all those years ago. Yeah. Well, it's going to be fascinating, no doubt, with, you know, his profile and everything. It's going to be very publicly played out. But I'm not ruling a line through Sydney just yet. I still think they can come to terms.
Who wins the all duck and no dinner game tonight?
Yeah, this will be a fantastic game. I think Melbourne win and win well. Collingwood just keep defying the critics, and I'm not a critic. I think that what they're doing is remarkable, and they just keep winning close games of football. But surely if you're a Collingwood player and you get the 4 points tonight, you just walk off making duck noises. If I was a Collingwood supporter and I had a duck whistle, I'd be bringing it to the G tonight and blowing it and you know, make sure that a bit like marshmallow game. Yeah. You know, you have a bit of fun with it.
So that is a good. I mean, this is a win-win-win, isn't it? I mean, it's a win for Ed Langdon. He doesn't get appreciated for how good a player he is. So if you don't know who Ed Langdon is and how good a player he is, well, you do now. Welcome to the world of Ed Langdon. he's showed some ticker, and it's, I think, good for Collingwood to have that as a spur. But it's also good for Melbourne just to wake them up if they're not woken up already.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think in the world of sport or anything for that matter, you should apologise for being too honest. Maybe, you know, if he had his time again, he might choose his words differently. And I'm sure that when the coaching staff or the media manager of Melbourne heard the interview, they might have gone, oh, no, you know. But it's just really good. And I think that the more honesty out of players, the better. And it certainly gives us in the media something to talk about and have a bit of fun with. And no doubt it gets the supporters up and about.
The Campbell Brown Cup's on this weekend.
Yes, it is. And I can hardly split these two teams. Obviously, the Hawks play great football down in Tasmania. But they've lost a couple of good players. Obviously, CJ out with the suspension and Mitch Lewis hurts them. I'm leaning towards to the Gold Coast Suns here, who are playing magnificently. And, I've seen Mabir Scholl play a lot of football in the VFL, and obviously when he got his opportunities at Richmond. But I never thought, you know, he'd be able to produce the consistent level of football he has this year. He's kicked a goal every week. Obviously, five last week was a career PB. And any year you get 40 goals out of a forward, especially one that you didn't think you would at the start of the year, is just remarkable.
Are you surprised that Mark McVay didn't swing the axe, given that he said a few players had checked out last week and then he sort of softened up at selection, obviously?
Yeah, it does happen sometimes. Yeah, it does. He's still obviously coaching to want to put the best side on the park and try and get a win, and certainly against Essendon, it's a winnable game. Lachie Ash was one of the guys that did get dropped, who, you know, has had a really good year. So he's made a statement with a couple of guys, but probably not to the level that we might have thought after the post-game interview. But I'm tipping Essendon here. I think they get Andy McGrath back, they get Darcy Parrish back, and that should add plenty to their midfield.
Bulldogs Fremantle's a pivotal game, Marvel Stadium.
Yeah, it is. I still keep tipping the Fremantle Dockers. Maybe I keep thinking they're going to get back to the form they were in the middle of the year, but they're just really struggling offensively at the moment. And it's going to hurt them. We know that they travel well. They've played terrific footy at Marvel Stadium this year when they've had to come to Melbourne and play there. But under the roof, you know, that certainly suits the conditions for the Western Bulldogs' fast ball movement. And Alex Keith, Adam Treloar come back in. It's a couple of senior guys, and great to see young Sam Darcy get an opportunity. He's going to be a really good player in whatever position he plays, whether that's a key forward, whether it's key back, and he'll probably spend a bit of time in the ruck.
Geelong and St Kilda, Saints updates thanks to Holmes Glen. Mid-year intake apply now at Holmes Glen. The Saints are in the eight as we speak. Will they be staying in the eight, Brownie?
I don't think so. No, they're a very, very tough proposition to go down to GMHBA Stadium and beat a rampaging Geelong outfit. They get Reece Stanley back, and that should help them as well. So they'll have to bring their absolute best, the Saints, and they're just too inconsistent for my liking to tip them with confidence. So going to be the Cats.
Study sport, business, health or building and construction. Apply now, learn more, do more at Holmes Glen. Port Richmond, Adelaide Oval, Port season done, Tigers season up and running at the moment.
Yeah, and that's where I think Richmond have the edge here. I know that Port have been playing, you know, terrific footy in their last probably 7 or 11 weeks, I'll say, has been outstanding after their shocking start. But no Georgiadis and Todd Marshall up forward should hurt them a little bit. And the fact that Richmond, they finally won a close one, and their win last week to come from 40-plus points behind was full of merit. So I think Richmond, to keep their season alive, will just be far too desperate.
North, any chance against Sydney?
No chance. No, Sydney should use this as a pretty good percentage booster.
Brisbane and Carlton's huge. Both teams have a bit to play for. Both teams are in a situation where they could actually drop a couple of ladder rungs in the last 3 weeks. Carlton could drop all the way out of the eight.
Yeah, if you're a Carlton supporter, you know, they've been ropeable all week this week because of what happened. It wasn't a game they could afford to lose. And neither was Brisbane's either, considering that they put themselves in such a good winning position. We know they had some injury concerns and the Medi sub was the ruckman and things like that. I don't think they'll make that same mistake again. I thought Brandon Stasevich being a laid out last week was really important and pivotal to the game because he's just that lockdown defender that can go to Bolton or someone that's off the chain and lock them down. So he comes back in, as does Daniel Rich, which just gives him a bit of a polish across the half back line. And I think Brisbane Lions at home will be too good for the Blues.
And Josh Kennedy's farewell game. West Coast should win that at home, shouldn't they? But Adelaide played so well last week.
Yeah, they really did. And they played a few guys out of position and really, you know, we saw some signs that they could be a good side moving forward. I think their development is first class. And one of those guys was Josh Worrell, who I thought played terrifically last week. So I can imagine that they're going to be going through Josh Kennedy a bit on the weekend. He might have a bag this weekend, and why not? He's been an absolute superstar and super consistent for the West Coast Eagles. So Eagles at home, a big sentimental game for their retiring star.
Josh Jenkins about to appear with Andy Marr on SEN in about half an hour from now. What have you made of the Eddie Betts story?
Oh, I just read it and seen Eddie speak, and you just get upset for him. The thing that probably for me was when WorkSafe South Australia investigated, they found no wrongdoing. When the AFL investigated, they found no wrongdoing. When the Adelaide Crows looked into the program that was run, there was no wrongdoing. And the AFLPA had a chat to them 4 years ago and found no wrongdoing. And clearly there has been. So are they sweeping it under the carpet? Are they trying to stay silent on it? Or they genuinely think there was nothing wrong done at the camp, which doesn't seem to be the case. So where's but the honesty been from all those organisations throughout the last 3-4 years before it's led to Eddie Betts coming out and speaking?
Yeah, well, his honesty was given to us via his book and his interviews this week and Josh Jenkins' version of events. His honesty will be given to us later on, so we can't wait for that. Campbell Brown, thanks to Tyre Power. Store-wide super sale now on. Get into your local independently owned Tyre Power today. Before we let you go, Brownie, have you got a winner for us?
I did. Hopefully you had something each way on those tips last week. I know that Dinger ran huge, but it ended up coming fifth. But Biometrics on Saturday came third and paid $5.70 the place. So that was nice. I'm having two bets tomorrow. The first is at Flemington Race 1, number 4, Berkeley Square. Very good horse. It's about $2.30. Dan O'Sullivan trains it. It won on debut, then ran second. Very nice horse. It should be winning again. And then a little bit later in the afternoon, Doomben, race 4, number 7, Land of Valens, around $5.50 for the Ryan Alexio stable. It's first up. It's flying. It should be winning. Both of those multied up together, you can get about $11.50, but back them outright as well. Those two should be winning.
Great to have you, Brownie. Always good to be able to pick your brain, get a winner, talk some footy with you. Can't wait to do it again next week. Good calling on the weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Campbell Brown joining us. Thanks to Tyre Power. Back with your calls after the break. Lost in the wash, still to come. You'll do as well.